podcast returns this week, as does the FA Cup, bringing more romance into our lives than a goal celebration between Gary Neville and Paul Scholes. Exeter draw with Benteke. United concede no shots against Sheffield United. Arsenal defeat Sunderland, where Joel's role evolves. And speaking of romance, a rose saves Spurs from the Foxes. Elsewhere, we've got news from Spain, where Zidane and Churan entertain the fans, a brief look at Serie A, where some stuff happens, and then Moomoo of the Week runs into a transfer window and falls over. The Koshcast is here for you once more. Let's bounce on the double, put the pedal to the floor. Welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com. My name is Alex, and on the Gap Patrol today, I've got Mohamed.
Hi, how's it going, Alex?
I'm well, how are you? I'm Bernie.
I'm good. What's the Gap Patrol?
You know, Rat Patrol and the Gap Patrol.
Oh,
or it might be the other way around. Right. I don't know.
Right.
See, I didn't know what it is, but I gave you the benefit of the doubt.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
How are we doing?
I'm great. Glad to be back, actually.
Yeah, it's been a while for you.
Yeah, you've been in Nigeria for about 3 months or something like that.
Yeah, it was my birth certificate.
Right.
I had to fix that.
I was just going to say, it wasn't 3 months, but in Nigerian times, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, good to have you back. And, of course, you come back and Roche leaves. He's actually just stuck in an office,
yeah.
Which is nowhere near as exciting as Nigeria.
On a Sunday.
Yeah, I know. He's been quite busy. But we celebrated Alex's birthday yesterday. I mean, yes, it was in December, but we all had a nice surprise party for him. Alex's girlfriend setting that up.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
She's the voice of the Koshcast at the end.
That tells you
in case you wanted to know about his personal life.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Cool.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, let's get right into it then. FA Cup.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Exeter played Liverpool. Which is, you know, the whole romance of the cup, the little guy versus the in quotes big guy.
Can you not talk about it with such boredom in your voice? I really enjoyed this competition.
I do. Later on.
Mohamed, you have to enjoy this competition because it's all Arsenal wins.
That's true. When we get to the Arsenal game, I'm going to have a glow on me.
Anyway, you said that Exeter played Liverpool, but was that strictly the case?
It wasn't.
They played kind of Liverpool.
They played like the Liverpool under 21s, to be honest.
And Benteke.
Yeah, who captained the side.
He did.
Benteke... I don't know. He's not good enough to be like the only guy in a team of under 21.
Against Exeter, he should be.
Well, clearly not. Exeter took the lead twice, 1-0 and 2-1.
I'm a little surprised, just to harp on Benteke a little bit. I mean, people have been criticizing him, but I thought he's been scoring a decent amount of goals under Klopp.
He has. He's got that kind of Giroud thing where like he scores goals,
but
he also misses a bunch of chances.
Yeah,
Over the festive period, as Roche said on previous podcasts, he did miss some glorious chances.
We also did last podcast, we said, I think it was against West Ham. West Ham's best form of defense was like Benteke's first touch. So like he had a couple of bad games, but with Sturridge's injury over and over, like every time he's back, he gets injured in training. Like... It's so weird. Like, might as well just not train. Let him play 20 minutes in a game.
Pull a Ledley King. He never trained at all. And he still came out and he was a beast.
Exactly.
But, I mean, back to the game. The Bogdan let in a goal directly from a corner. Was there wind this time?
Maybe.
Did, what's his name, pause the video and try to show that there was wind?
Bogdan conceded a goal a couple of weeks ago where a corner came in and he just dropped it.
Yes.
Or it kind of got kicked out of his hands, but still. And then he's conceded another one straight from a corner.
So what's the solution to Bogdan on corners?
Oh, nothing. Keep playing him, man.
Mm.
I'm enjoying it.
He's clearly getting bogged down in you know...
In the details.
Yeah.
The other main thing was Jose Enrique. On Twitter, people had so much fun. They're like, Enrique must have paused that online FIFA game to come and play. Like, he must have put something off. Like, he doesn't play at all. I'm really surprised he got a game.
His new title is Professional Paella Eater.
Did you guys remember before this game that he existed?
No.
Because I forgot. I actually saw the memes we're talking about on Twitter, and I actually said to myself, who is this guy? Mm. Because I didn't see the name at first. I was like, who's this guy that's for the
I honestly thought he got a transfer that just no one talked about, and he, like, left. But I didn't realize he was still there.
The only reason I remembered him is because I was going through... I was thinking about the Liverpool team and
been a really boring day.
It was terrible. But I was wondering, like, who are they going to play? Because they've got to rotate the whole team, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, Moreno, who's the backup left back? Enrique.
Right.
Like, that's the only reason he came to
On a list of football players who just don't care about, and just, you know, they're raking in the money and don't care, between Adebayor, Mikel, and Enrique, where is Enrique in?
Number one. At least Adebayor right now is putting up videos of showing off his fitness so he can get a contract somewhere.
Also, Adebayor basically funds Togo, whereas I'm not sure what Enrique does with his cash.
Yeah, what does he do
for
the world?
Spain does need some funding.
Oh, granted, but I'm not sure he's doing it.
No, he's not. So anyways, yes, the game ended 2-2. Liverpool fans aren't the happiest bunch, but they've got like 7 hamstring injuries, so I guess Klopp was forced to play these guys. And at the end of the day, 2-2, bring it back to Anfield. They'll maybe have more fit players at the time.
And FSG will be happy because a return fixture makes them a bit more money, and really that's all they care about.
Well, the interesting thing is the return leg makes Exeter 10 times as much money as they would have. It was £70,000 they were going to make if they won this game and progressed or whatever. But now playing at Anfield, they're going to make £700,000. And that's going to bankroll, I think, 3/4 of their wages for a year or something like that.
Yeah. It's amazing.
So maybe they played for this draw.
Yeah, at 2-1, they're like, lads, we gotta
get paid, boys.
It's actually kind of sickening that like the Premier League has that television deal and this team needs a draw to fund themselves for a year. Well, like, what?
It's like, was it Crawley Town last season against Manchester United? And then I think they got £1 million and they used it to refurbish their bathrooms and something.
Right. To be fair, as an Exeter player, I think I would rather a draw and go play in a big stadium like Anfield than get a win and then play Scunthorpe or whatever next round. Like,
oh no, maybe you win the game and then you get to say that you beat Liverpool.
Maybe.
I have to say the real winner for this, and I wish I remembered the person's name. I saw this on Twitter, but someone, I think it was at like Betfair or some one of the betting companies, tweeted, imagine you're an Exeter player, like non-league, you've got a day job or whatever, and then you come to the end of the Liverpool game and you get John Flanagan's shirt. Gutted, right? That's what he said. Someone else responded, John Flanagan is a professional football player. You're sitting in a box room typing betting bants for £6 an hour.
Nice. And he's the new Cafu. To be honest.
Flanagan?
Yeah. So yeah, that happened. Also, Arsenal 3, Sunderland 1. Keeping up with the excitement of the Cup, Sunderland took the lead 1-0 at the Emirates. Lenz scoring. And that is how you say his name. I thought it was Lons or some, you got to roll your tongue. Yeah. But it's not. It's Lenz.
Yeah, no. You have to be French for that.
Yeah. Anyways.
It was annoying, this, because I was in a pub a couple of weeks ago, and I was having a conversation with a guy called Marky. Really, really fun Irish man. And he was saying, Koscielny, he's got a mistake in him.
Yeah.
He's got a bloody mistake
in him. And you were like, no.
And I was like, no, man. He's like, he's one of the world's best defenders.
I think he meant Mertesacker.
No. He was talking about, well, he thought he was shit too. But I was like, no. One of the world's best defenders, which he still is. Yeah. But this was a horrendous mistake.
Right. It was. I mean, Gibbs didn't help either by giving him the ball from 2 yards out right in his feet when he could have just kicked it out. But either way, Cech also could have saved. Like, there was 3 mistakes in a row there. Anyway, Sunderland went 1-0 up. Arsenal fans were like, all right, here we go.
By Arsenal fans, he means himself.
Yes.
if you guys want to have a great time, go on Twitter when Arsenal is playing. This is what happens. The first half an hour, because Arsenal, I think, start a bit slow.
Don't start well.
The first half an hour, Mohamed is swearing, cursing, yelling at players and saying this is not good enough, this is why we can't win the league, why we can't do this and that. And it's hilarious. And then Arsenal score, and then it's like he slowly gets going again.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he starts cheering and getting excited.
First half an hour, I'm quoting Piers Morgan.
I'll tell you the difference, right? Sunderland scored, I turned to Caitlin, and I literally said, I'm not worried at all.
I was losing it. I
was absolutely going to lose to Sunderland.
Anyways, Arsenal came back. Joel Campbell really taking that game by the scruff of the neck. I really enjoyed his performance. Unfortunate for Ox, that was the comparison there, and he didn't look very good next to Campbell.
Just saying, Joel Campbell's not a player you wanted out of Arsenal.
Obviously, everybody
called
did.
Absolutely trash.
Everybody did.
But when you call someone trash, they usually turn out all right, so you should just keep going
on. Well, Giroud still has a long way to go.
No, but I thought the thing about Joel Campbell here, and he's improved week on week, and he gets some very good assists. Like, in the final third, he's got an eye for a killer pass.
Yes.
And what you noticed here was that he really stepped up and took responsibility. Without Ozil there was a kind of vacuum. There was no one being really creative.
Yeah.
And he actually took up that mantle.
Even including taking the free kicks, like something as little as that, for him to be taking them. I mean, he really did step up. Mm. And the other guy who played well was Iwobi. I mean, he's like 20? I don't know. He's
19, 20.
Incredibly
young. It won't be long until he's in the team.
Okay.
In like Nigerian team, probably already.
So. Yeah? But under 17s?
I was just there. I saw the birth certificate. Right. You know. But in regards to Joe Campbell, who wants to say what I always say? Who wants to take
confidence?
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, it is a confidence game. True. But, I mean, he went a year without scoring a single goal for Arsenal or for Costa Rica. So for him to turn it around like this, it's fantastic. I mean, Joel Campbell's form has literally changed Arsenal's fans' perspective on our squad depth single-handedly. It went from, we don't have enough players and we bought no one to the summer, to, oh, it's not looking too bad now.
Like, so he really filled that season, back. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is going to be a world world-class player, apparently. If we go by Mohamed criticizing people who maybe. Apparently and wanting them out of his club.
To be fair, I think Alex will agree with me that Ox has been looking
Oxlade-Chamberlain's had a horrendous season. We've talked about it before. Something needs to change, and he is really low on confidence. I mean, he's now, like, kicking the ball out of play.
To be fair to him,
he was playing in central midfield yesterday for the first time this season.
Right.
And he played next to Callum Chambers, who had a good game. But, yeah, something needs to change for him.
Yeah. Anyways, moving on, just the quick stat. This is Arsenal's 14th straight win in the Cup. Obviously, winning it both of the last season. I think if they win it a third time, it wouldn't have happened since God knows when. So that would be quite an achievement. Next, Norwich 0, City 3. City haven't always looked good away from home. But recently they got their first win since August or whatever in the league. Now they beat Norwich away. I mean, it's a tougher game than you could have gotten in the FA Cup.
They did well to pull out. Was it 3-0?
Aguero with a solo golazo.
Yeah, it was a nice flick from Sterling too. But Aguero is finding, he's fully fit now.
Did he pull a hamstring? I'm waiting for him to pull a hamstring.
Not yet.
That's next game.
Oh, yeah. Iheanacho, Bernie's boy.
Yep. Under 17 football god who may not be under 17.
No, he looks young.
Yeah, we can't do it to everyone.
No, he looks really, really young.
And then I think De Bruyne.
Yeah, great goal by De Bruyne.
De Bruyne is a great football player. We've harped on him.
I forgot about De Bruyne, to be honest.
How?
Like, because
he plays like 8 out of 10 every week.
Yeah, but see, De Bruyne is the type of guy that when he came in, I just expect him to take over games and completely run the show. He doesn't really do that.
He doesn't look...
To be fair, he did fill the void Silva left when he was injured. Absolutely. He did fill that void quite well. Anyways.
I just think that when Silva's in the team, Silva runs the show.
Right.
He's a bit more impact than the guy who runs the show. And at Wolfsburg, it was Wolfsburg, yeah. Right? It was a lot different. And I just expect more in that sense. But I still think he's a wonderful player.
I think you will probably see that over time as, you know, Silva's what, 30, 31 maybe?
Oh, wow, yeah.
And he's got a lot of experience on De Bruyne. And so for now, De Bruyne with the legs and with the shooting power will be more of an impact player. Right, but he will probably run the team.
Anyways, City getting the 3 points here. United beat Sheffield 1-0, which was the best game of the round. It was scintillating. It was end-to-end. It was unbelievable stuff. I couldn't keep my eyes off it, Bernie, as most United games have been.
Well, I'll say this. There was a United fan who was sleeping standing up. Yes. And that was unbelievable because he was more entertaining sleeping standing up.
The whole top tier of Old Trafford was empty. I mean, people love to say how it's always sold out. Oh, man, it was empty up there. People started to get...
It's a bit of a chore to watch Manchester United now. I know a lot of people who, they say, I'm going to skip the game, tell me, you know, how it worked out. Yeah.
It's about the scores now. It's about, like, how, I mean, for example, this one was a 92nd-minute penalty?
Yeah.
I mean, do you guys think that was a penalty?
Yeah. I mean, when you watch the replays and you even watch the stills, he makes firm contact on his shin.
Mm.
So, it's a penalty. He exaggerated the hell out of it, but... Right. The contact is stud on shin. It's not even a glance. Mm. It's stud on shin. So it's a penalty.
Alex, do you think that was stud on chin?
I think it was generous. Mm. I mean, the fact that it was Sheffield United against Manchester United in the 92nd minute might be influencing how I feel about this. But he did... I mean, Ashley Young's probably looking at that going, is that how I look?
Yeah.
Like, it was a dive and a half.
Hey, at least Depay did something.
It was a dive. It was a dive, but with the contact, though.
Right.
That's the difference.
Yeah. He tried to make sure he was going
to
get
it. And to be fair to Depay, he was your chief threat throughout that game, and he deserved something out of it, I think.
Right. I mean, I remember watching the game and then looking at the coverage online and thinking, you know that cat that ran onto the field in the Everton game?
Yep.
Got way more coverage in this game. Like, way more. Like, 10 times more.
I'll say something about Van Gaal, because I apparently have to, since I haven't been here for a month.
Yeah, you're getting that out of your system.
So, in the Swansea game, first half, 0-0, he actually said that the Swansea game, the first half was better than the second half, when Manchester United had all the shots, and they were running the game and actually playing better. So, that's curious. And it's the same thing in the first half of every game. They haven't scored in the last 10 games. In the first half, at home. And he loves that. He just loves holding the ball, and that's how he thinks they should play. And then he says, it was tough to play Sheffield United because we didn't have the width. And we didn't... When teams pack up, you know, like that, you have to play wide.
Yeah.
But you played Mata as a right winger comes inside, and then he criticized Mata for that. I'm like, you've known this for a year and a half. Why are you being
He's not going to change. Mata's not going to beat this guy on the right and put in a cross with his right foot. Like, it's just not going
to
happen.
Pigs will fly, man. Can I give you an analogy, though? This is what Van Gaal's like to me. He's like a dog owner, right? He's got the dog on a leash, and that's when he's happy, right? But the dog's just kind of bored, just like plodding along. He lets it off the leash. Dog goes wild, chases a squirrel up a tree, has a great time, pisses about in the mud. But Van Gaal can't take it.
That dog seems like Angel Di Maria to me. I don't know. He has a doggy face.
But you know what I mean? Like, Van Gaal's just standing there like, oh my God, anything could happen. I can't take this.
Like, he's too worried.
Yeah.
Like,
gets it back on the leash in the second half.
He's just not in control. Van Gaal loves the possession football because he's in control of
He actually has a poster on his wall, no lie, that says, genius is the absence of chance.
See,
that sums it up right.
I get it. Some people love to control as much as possible. Like, and sometimes it doesn't always work out. But Pep likes to control a lot too, but he comes to the final third and says, you do your thing, but I'm getting you there in full 100% control. Van Gaal needs to do something similar. Anyways, United get the win, move on, good enough for now. I mean, again, this season for United fans is just scores. What is the score? Did we win the game? Okay, at this point. Like, what are you going to do?
That's pretty much it.
Chelsea beats Scunthorpe 2-0. They should. They're in better form now. Costa's on the score sheet again. That goal, I mean, is it really his goal? But whatever.
I have to tell.
I'm not sure he touched it, to be very honest.
Mm. If he did, it was brilliant. But if he didn't...
Well, the ball came off the Scunthorpe defender last.
Right.
So if he touched it, it's a touch onto the defender, and then it went in.
But have you seen how big Costa is now? I think his gravitational pull might have influenced the ball, and that's why it was
good. You can see it in his face. He's a chubby boy now.
He is. He is playing well.
But he's not doing a lot. Like, he's there. He's there. But he looks quite big.
What struck me about this game is that Chelsea didn't really rotate at all. I mean, Loftus-Cheek came in, scored a good goal. But beyond that, like, they played the first team.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in a bad run of form, you can't take that chance. Because they've won, 2-3 on the trot. You come here and you play a weak team, and then you lose again, and it starts all over again.
Perhaps.
You
know? The other thing is, who do they have to rotate? Like, who comes in? I mean,
Remy, well, Mikel didn't play, I don't think.
No, I mean, Costa and Fabregas can't even rotate around themselves. So, you know.
I didn't say rotund, I said rotund.
Ah, nice. Last but not least, Spurs-Leicester. This was the highest profile tie out of the 500 FA Cup games this weekend.
Would you have said that last season?
Of course not.
That's what's amazing about it.
Of course not, because Spurs were really bad. 2-2 on that one. Another dubious penalty decision. Bernie sees, from the ref's point of view, I was given, I think we all agree from where he was standing, it looked like he spun into the ball. But when you look at it retrospectively...
This is for the equaliser, right?
Yeah.
I saw it from the from behind the goal first, and I thought, no chance. Then when they showed the ref's angle, it's one of those that you know it's not a penalty.
Is that where you were sitting? Because I didn't catch you on TV behind the goal.
Where have I been these last 3 weeks?
All right.
But I just thought, from the ref's positioning, I got it, but... I don't know, maybe they could have used that fifth linesman that UEFA to use or maybe. Something.
Or in the Dutch League, we were talking about this week, the Dutch League in the Cup is going to start putting in video replays and all that kind of jazz. This could have been one of those moments.
These Dutchmen and their absence of chance, eh?
Yes, control everything.
It could ruin the game.
So Leicester was up twice, 1-0 and...
No, Spurs went up 1-0. Eriksen.
Oh, right, yeah, Eriksen. It was a nice finish, to be fair.
It was a really tidy finish,
What's his name? Kasper Schmeichel probably should have.
It did take a slight deflection.
Wider, but you know.
Yeah, like the Chadley shot came in, and Schmeichel probably could have put it out, even for a corner or something, would have been less dangerous than where he put it. But Eriksen did well to finish, and then Leicester.
New signing.
Like, Spurs are looking great. They're dominating possession, 1-0 up, and then Leicester get their first corner, first attempt on goal.
The new signing putting it in.
And Wesley.
No.
Yeah. Oh, the header.
No, the cross, the corner.
Oh, Demarai Gray. Yes. Yeah. And then Alderweireld just lost his man completely and was a free header.
Alderweireld got destroyed for both goals.
A shocker.
Okazaki sent him back to wherever, Belgium.
Yes.
It was unbelievable.
It was the first game I've looked at Alderweireld and been like, ooh, you looked bad.
And Vorm?
Maybe he needs Vertonghen as
well. I totally forgot about Vorm. He's another guy I totally forgot about.
He's rubbish.
Why did he leave Swansea?
Because he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's the host.
He followed Pochettino.
True.
Or Pochettino, whatever. Alex hates the end. Didn't he?
No.
What?
Oh, no,
Pochettino managed Southampton.
Sorry, who did he follow then? He followed...
Nobody.
I could have sworn he followed someone.
He and Ben Davies went to Spurs when Sigurdsson went to Swansea.
Fabianski came over from Arsenal.
So, a replay. It's not good for either of these teams.
No.
The fixtures are coming in thick and fast, and no one wants a replay, but... I mean, Spurs will take it over a loss.
But then they have to play each other again in the league.
They play each other seven times in 12 months.
The other thing I'll just quickly point out about this is that Pochettino used the chance to blood another youngster, Josh Onuma, who's been getting like substitute appearances and stuff. But he played the whole game here, and he looks really good.
Guess what?
What?
Nigerian.
They're all Nigerian, man. Like, it doesn't matter. They're all Nigerian.
Sure.
We're everywhere, bro.
So yeah, that's the FA Cup. Tons of other scores. I mean, Crystal Palace beating Southampton, Everton also going through. I think everyone who was expected to go through did go through, except the rare draw here and there. I think most Premier League teams
Swansea.
Made it. Swansea. Swansea lost 3-2.
But they won't care. They've got to concentrate on staying in the Premier League.
Yeah.
With their new manager, Alan Curtis.
Yeah, they...
Doesn't that name just fill you with confidence?
Every season they do that, though.
I know.
They keep the interim guy. Anyways, let's move on to Moment of the Week.
Yeah.
Moment of the Week.
We start Moment of the Week at Sunderland, which is always a great place to start.
Yeah.
They've done some business in the transfer window. They've signed Jan Kirschhoff, who was at Bayern Munich, wasn't playing many games.
144 minutes.
Hours. All season?
Yeah.
Yeah, lovely. So he said that he rejected a number of bids from other clubs in the Bundesliga to sign for Sunderland, and he seemed really proud about it, and I'm not quite sure why.
Money?
Not everyone gets to be mentored by Big Sham, though.
I do think he thought it was Samuele Aladici. That's probably how he signed it off when he, you know,
maybe
sent
that's
him
what
the email.
Pep told him.
But, like, you know what? To me, regardless, still the fact that I see a player go from Bayern Munich to Sunderland,
yeah,
is still, it's weird.
It is weird. Maybe he just really wanted to work with John O'Shea, Yunus Kabul, and
but he
Brown.
knows he has like a whatever it is a 30% chance of playing in the second division.
Well, it's just a loan, I think.
Does he really know?
Oh, just a loan?
Yeah, I think
okay,
so.
That's fine.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
This is an 18-month contract he signed. This is not a loan deal. This is a like 1 point something. It's very, very cheap.
Ah.
Presumably, they're going to pay him a lot of money, and he's on the Jose Enrique, Mikel Adebayor, money hungry bastard list.
Maybe. Or he keeps them up. We'll see.
Right. Anyways, what's next?
Yaya Touré.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This one hits me hard because I'm coming back from the motherland.
Okay. The jewel in Africa's crown.
No.
That's Ivory Coast, man. Don't mix up your African countries. No. We're about to get...
I mean, okay, so Yaya Touré is upset.
Again.
And I remember last year or the year before it was about not getting birthday cake.
Yeah.
This is pretty bad. So...
it's such a euphemism. It's not getting birthday cake.
He can't eat his cake and have it too or something like that.
Yeah.
So Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang was crowned African Footballer of the Year.
Well deserved.
Definitely well deserved. I think that was a consensus. When there was a poll, it was like 90%.
Yeah, no corruption in that one.
So this guy, Yaya Touré, was upset when they asked him, you know, what do you think? Any kind words? He says, he used the word pathetic and he said it was a disgrace that African football continues to be under the... let's just say the influence of European football.
Okay.
That they don't respect people that do things for their continent.
Right, because Yaya plays in the local league of Senegal.
Yes.
It confuses me, you know, that he's basically saying, I won the
African Cup,
which is disingenuous. He didn't win it himself.
Other people won it.
You know.
I strolled around while some of the other people...
Yeah. Yeah.
But then there was a great analysis, someone said, in 2012, 2013, 2014, when you did win... that award and Zambia who beat you and Nigeria
so he didn't
award.
Two of those.
You won it, but they didn't give it to the guy who won. So why are you being hypocritical?
Where was the award for Stopila Sunzu?
Whoa!
You know?
Wow!
Whoa!
Wow! Man. That is.
We have to move on. Or else
that was a great
Zambian
moment.
Football
Bernie
podcast.
Slightly turned on right now.
Just a little bit.
So my Mumu candidate is Mark Lawrenson, and anyone who knows anything about anything has already seen this. Basically, Mark Lawrenson. On Match of the Day, confused Steven Pienaar with Steven Penis. And I'm going to let you listen to it now, okay?
Please.
Here you go.
Obviously, Morales, Penis, Pienaar as well, etc. So, as far as
I hope you can hear that, because that was unbelievable. And then they zoomed into Trevor Sinclair's face, and he was trying to hold it in so hard. And you know what? I don't blame him if he had burst out laughing.
No. Steven Penis would be a great addition to the Everton squad, I think.
Hey, it adds penetration to the
yep.
game.
Yep.
Yeah. Right, so let's move to La Liga, where we'll begin with Real Madrid.
Zidane and shut up.
Oh! I was like, whoa! Why is he accosting me?
No. Keep going.
Okay. So there's a new leader in the White House. I love that.
Except he's not black.
Right. Yeah. Well, he's African.
Yeah.
Born on the motherland.
Is he Muslim too? Like Obama?
I don't know.
He is.
Oh.
He is, yeah.
Mm. Fantastic stuff. Mm. Who's his second
Donald
man?
Trump would ban him from coming into the U.S.
All right, definitely, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. But, yeah, let's go on to actual football. And no, yeah, no yeah, more yeah. politics. <All right. laughs> So, Zidane is the new manager of Real Madrid. Anyone sad about Benitez?
Nah.
I'm not sad. Look, from a personal point of view, I am sad for Benitez. I sat there. I don't know why. I sat there when this happened, and I thought, Benitez is such a childhood Real Madrid guy. He loves the club. This is his dream job. He couldn't wait to get it. And from a personal point of view, to be sacked 7 months later, when only after only losing three games in that period. And to me, he got sacked because he's not a Galactico. Like, that's just how I see it. It's kind the same of. Way with the players in the Galactico era. Like, he just, if he was a bigger name, they would have seen it out. But Benitez the question, is easy to sack.
But the question then becomes, does he not deserve to be seen as a quote-unquote Galactico manager? I mean, he's won the UEFA Cup at that point.
Right.
He won the league, I think he won the league with Valencia.
Yeah.
And he's won
Champions League with Liverpool.
He's done a lot of things.
Look. The logic of a Galactico isn't actually true with Real Madrid. They see Galactico as an image, as the perception of a Galactico. It's not actually logically like backed up.
So on those points, I would argue, A, that the Galactico thing, I think you're right, it definitely helps. It's like, it's why Isco isn't in the team, because it's not that big a name. But Ancelotti was a Galactico manager, is a Galactico manager, and it bought him a year.
Exactly.
Maybe.
Mourinho.
Like, a year and a bit. Mourinho's the same. Like, even that only lasts you so far. About Benitez, does he deserve to be considered one? Not really. I don't think so. He's done some amazing stuff, but it was all a long time ago.
Right.
He's had some pretty bad reigns more recently.
Mm-hmm. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Benitez, yes, there's some things that broke the camel's back. One, the loss to Barca at the very start, 4-5, whatever it was. After that, the ineligible player in the cup. Even if you think it's insignificant, it's just things that, in the social media, they get hyped up, the whole notion of Benitez not having a good time, and that's it, and it slowly piles up.
It's very hard for me to really embrace that team. I mean, this is 14 days ago, literally 14 days ago, they came out and said, he is not the problem, he's a solution. And when asked by a media official if Zidane will take over, Perez categorically said, no, that is not going to happen. Yeah. 2 weeks later, that is exactly
what
happened.
But we know those press conferences are the kiss of death, those like kind of backing up or whatever. It's insane. Anyways, let's move on to Zidane. So Zidane got the job. Ancelotti had said when he was there that I see Zidane eventually being my successor. Obviously, Ancelotti thought he'd be there for a couple more seasons. But
so naive.
Yeah, so finally Zidane does become that successor. And I mean, I don't know. I hate the fact that this could be an opportunity to tarnish Zidane's kind of legendary status as a Madrid entity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all. I don't want that to happen. Zidane's too good of a player, too nice of a person in general for this to happen to him, so I really hope he does well. But what is well? He'll do what Benitez is going to do, which is come second or third in the league and maybe semifinals of Champions League. He'll do the exact same thing. Like, he won't get any better results.
I think I agree with you exactly. It's a little bit, for me, a personal level, why I'm kind of like, well, if Ryan Giggs takes over Manchester United and he does badly, what happens to the legacy as a player? It's the same thing with Zidane. Look at Maradona a little bit. I think his failure at Argentina,
definitely.
I think he went somewhere else, like Al Sadd or something. It took a little bit of a gloss you know, the legend. Mm. Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Enough to really, you know,
People have short memories.
But there are other ways of taking the gloss off your legacy. I mean, yes, you got Maradona with his bad managerial ability, Platini, you know, with his taking bribes and stuff. And then you've got the Pelé route, which is make terrible predictions and advertise Viagra.
Yeah.
Yes. No,
there are more than one way.
Zidane hasn't done any of that.
And his association with Freddie Adu.
Yes,
in that commercial that was supposed to make Freddie Adu the next big thing, now he's
Pelé has had already like four next Pelés. He's had Adu, Robinho, like he's had so many next Pelés. Anyways, back to Zidane.
The thing about him is that we don't really know much about his managerial ability. He took over Real Madrid Castilla. He did, by all means, an average job. He pissed off Martin Odegaard's dad, so that's a plus point, maybe.
Yeah.
His son was captain.
Yeah, so nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
Tick.
But as far as the actual job itself, he had a game, right?
He had a game.
And they won,
and
what, 5-0?
Yes, regardless of the score, Real Madrid fans, I don't know whether they're just seeing what they want to see, but they are saying that the ball was zipped around faster, Ronaldo and Bale were putting in more tackles. Like, they were just saying that, you know, the whole new manager vibe thing was there.
Modric said it too.
And 5-0 Bale hat-trick. I mean, Zidane did say, I'm going to take care of Bale, don't worry about it. Like, because Bale was really upset that Benitez left.
Well, it was Bale hat-trick, Benzema brace, Ronaldo 2 assists.
Yeah.
It seemed like the BBC was in sync with each other. But here's my problem, okay? Real Madrid will beat Deportivo. No matter who the manager is, 5-0, 6-0. And Benitez beat the hell out of, was it?
10-1.
10-2. So... I think we need to see them play against the good teams.
But you're seeing seeing what they want to see, which is fine for now. I mean, Klopp was the same when he first came to Liverpool. Sure. And then the score started to not look so good. Then
is your league, right? That it doesn't matter who you're playing or who the manager is. That you know, like I look at a 5-0 result and I go, eh, it's not a big deal.
No, exactly. You know, it's not a big deal.
If anyone wins in the Premier League, anybody in the Premier League beats anyone 5-0, you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
What happened
there? Yeah. No, ultimately there are 4 or 5 games a season.
That have 5 goals.
Yeah. And it's crazy. But, you know, you're right. Until they play the big sides, it's going to be very difficult to analyse them, even tactically. Because against these smaller teams, they don't really need to be that tactically smart. Astute.
No, you're right. But the other thing is, should we, even against the big teams, should we even assess Zidane tactically or not? I mean, he can't do it in 3 weeks. If they play a big team in 3 weeks or whatever they're going to play Atletico or someone very soon. It's been there 3 weeks. I don't care if you lose or you win. The point is, you need to start from September or next season. You can't do it now. But it's unfair.
Is he going to get there? That's the question.
He has to. Come on, like, I mean, every time I say this, they have to, and it doesn't happen. Like, it's stupid, you know, like, that Einstein thing where you do the same thing and expect different results? That's what Perez does. He does the same thing and expects different results.
The people that vote him in keep doing the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. Although he keeps filling the rules to make sure they vote him in. Yeah. But the only reason I'd say that you might be right in this case is because, A, they have literally run out of managers to a point, and B, Perez kind of backed himself into a corner with this Zidane thing, and he doesn't really have anywhere to go.
Before we move on, that is a question I wanted to ask. They have literally run out of managers. Who could they sign, let's say, if Zidane is only there for 5 months and it's agreed in September, or whatever, in June?
The only name that could potentially... Well, as far as someone that's done stuff, is Allegri. But I don't think that Allegri would take... He doesn't seem the type of person
that would take that
job.
But I've been thinking of Pochettino and stuff.
Pochettino would be a great choice, but... Is he a Galactico manager? He's definitely not.
Before we move on, I was talking to a Real Madrid fan yesterday, and I think the point came up is that Zidane would do very well next season if Ronaldo isn't there. I think his job becomes significantly easier because you don't have that whole like thing hovering over your head, Ronaldo. Now you get to play whatever you want. You put players wherever you want. Isco plays, James, whatever. I think without Ronaldo in September, Zidane does a good job
this season. There's one very, very big problem with that. Zidane came out and said that Cristiano Ronaldo is uncategorically untransferable. That's exactly what his words were. And Zidane, from what Ancelotti said, is a very, very big fan of Cristiano Ronaldo. So, does he get rid of him? Well, he doesn't have that say. He doesn't have that say anyway. Yeah. But even if Cristiano wanted to leave, I don't think they would let him do that. I don't think it makes sense for them.
I think it gets to that point where he really should. For Real Madrid.
We can say that all we want. It's not. Like, Perez can do whatever Perez wants to do.
Also, he doesn't want to. And in terms of money, like, really, there's only PSG that could afford to
United,
do it.
United could afford it.
Maybe,
United
but you're looking at, like, 200 million... 500,000 a week on wages. Like, that, it's mental.
And the thing is, he's going to be 32.
Yeah,
and I thought that at 32, A, the goals will go down, B, the price goes down, and it seems like the price is going to be the same. Like, come on.
He doesn't follow market systems. Yeah. Anyways, let's move on to Barcelona. Arda Turan is now starting to play. He played 2 games already, slotted right in. Everything looks great. Couple of assists here and there.
He makes me sick. Well, I'm sorry. Arda Turan... Arda Turan is annoying the hell out of me. His love affair with Barcelona, it's been for the last like what 6 months he's not played football. All he does is talk about how
he's a huge fan.
And I'm like, shut the hell up. I don't know why it bugs me. And maybe I see his beard and I think I don't want to see him in that
jersey. In 2002 or whatever, someone pulled up a quote where he was in Galatasaray and he actually said to a reporter, look, call me insane, call me crazy, but I will one day play for Barcelona. That's how much he's in love with this club.
I don't know why I hate it so much.
You hate it because he came from Atletico Madrid.
But I hate it because he has that beard. If he shaved or something, then he could look like one of those soft Barcelona guys or something.
But that's half the reason they bought him.
Pirate amongst angels. It just doesn't make sense.
Half the reason they bought him was to add that beardy presence to their midfield.
It was Barcelona won 4-0 against Granada. Messi with a hat-trick.
Beautiful goals.
In the cup, they beat... Who was it? The Sociedad 4-0 as well. Messi with another 2 goals and 2 assists. He's been on a good week right now. Here's a stat for you from Barcelona's point of view, which is a cool stat. For the past 7 years, mm-hmm. at least one Barcelona player has scored a hat-trick every January.
In January? January. After the break.
Yes.
That they have. Right.
For 7 years. 7 years in okay. a row.
We talked about the teams that they have to play, right?
Right. Okay. But still.
But then this brings up a great point. Should the Premier League have winter break? Because then we might see more hat-tricks.
Yeah, maybe Hazard will score
a goal.
I think
hat-tricks are linear.
Yeah.
The correlation, the linear correlation between winter break and hat-tricks is proof.
It's proof. It is proof. Right, proof. Okay. Having Messi in your team has nothing to do with it.
No, it's not a variable.
Also, the FA are a bit stubborn, yeah? Like, if doing better at an international tournament from an England standpoint isn't enough to convince them, yeah. I'm not sure, like, a hat-trick or two is going
to... Yes. Because anything for England to do better should really convince them.
Right. By the way, this actually happened. So, you know how they have there was a winter break. There was actually a mid-winter break as well in Spain. So, they've had 2 breaks.
Yeah.
So, the Premier League thought to themselves, ooh, more games. So, yes. they stuffed games yes. in those periods because they thought the less competition would right. make more money. Unbelievable.
You're laughing at Spain's freaking break. Bayern Munich and Bundesliga haven't played in like months. Yeah. They're just like chilling on a beach somewhere. Like
they hibernate.
It's unbelievable. They just chill for like a month, do nothing. Yes. What's his name? Javier Chicharito. He's in a car in Disney World in Paris, parading around like taking selfies.
Wondering. I'm so happy.
When I saw that, I was like, but how? Doesn't he have a game?
Anyways, speaking of managers, Zidane is going to be looking across at Gary Neville and hoping he doesn't go down the same route, because Gary Neville right now, I think, has 8 games without a single win or whatever it is.
It's brutal.
And I mean, you think all he has to do is kind of at halftime bring out his iPad, start moving some players around on the touch screen and be like, bro, this is where you're supposed to run. Here's your circle. That's what you're supposed to do.
What I find funny is when you see highlights of Valencia games and you see Gary Neville on the touchline and yelling. And I'm like, wait a minute. Shouldn't you have Angulo? They're yelling for you, but he's doing the yelling.
Yeah.
Presumably in English.
I think yelling is universal.
Yeah.
Yelling like what? Like.
Oi!
So when Moyes was yelling, Esteban! Esteban! When and he didn't have any player called Esteban.
Moyes is next level. Like, yeah, if Gary Neville gets to that, then, you know, I would feel really bad.
No, but you're right. He can't win again. Well, he won in Copa del Rey.
They beat Granada 4-0, which I think Barcelona
did.
Just
not in the league or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost to Sociedad yesterday or today 2-0.
Imagine if Neville got them relegated.
I was thinking that, by the way. I was thinking, like, the Englishman ruining the Spanish game.
You would think that another one wouldn't happen, but you know what? I believe Brendan Rodgers... Well, you're not English, but you know, get the point.
Right, I get the point. So, yeah, flipping over my sheet...
Okay.
Sorry, Alex, you want to say something about
I just wanted to say, I just want to see Gary Neville slide tackle an opposing manager at some point. That would make my year.
I mean, if you poke someone in the eye, then he's on the league of status.
I want to see Gary Neville make like an overlapping run. Just around the other manager. So, let's talk transfers. I mean, it's been quiet. It's already 10 days into January.
So why are we going to talk about it?
Just to get the stuff that actually happened out. So, Bournemouth.
For the record, Mohamed loves transfers.
Yeah. I love transfers, okay? It gives me stuff. It does stuff to me.
Yeah.
Bournemouth signed Iturbi on loan and Afobe permanently. Arsenal getting 1.8 million from that.
Get in, son.
Yeah, get in. That's it for our transfers.
Hashtag Gazidis in. Afobe is a really good signing, I think, for Bournemouth. He's got like 25 goals in 43 games for Wolves or something. And if he can make the step up, which I think he should do, because when he played against Manchester United for MK Dons,
doesn't mean anything.
He absolutely destroyed you.
When was that?
You remember when you lost 4-0?
When was that?
that 4-0 after the other 3-0.
Yeah.
So that's happening. Bournemouth is just spending that TV money like crazy. I mean, 11 million for Iturbi if they decide to buy him at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's loan for now.
If we talk about Bournemouth for a second, is this the right thing to do? Because I feel, you know, they're a hardworking team. They graft. They're a bit... They're like Burnley were, but better.
Yeah.
You know what Burnley were.
Agreed.
So, the foreign guy coming in the
tournament... You're saying Iturbi might not...
And then
yeah.
Afobe, he might be brilliant, for all I know. But maybe he makes sense. But that's a lot of money
you're
to spend.
You're scared about the balance.
I feel like it's messing up what got them to where they are in the first place,
I disagree. I mean, Afobe is what, like 10 million?
Yeah.
So, yeah, for Bournemouth, like, as of last year, that would have been a huge amount of money. But when you look at the money in the Premier League, there's nothing, really. It's like Norwich are going to spend 8 on... who's the guy from Everton?
Naismith?
Yeah. Like, it feels big.
Hey, Naismith is a god. Don't you dare.
Yeah, it feels big, but it's not really.
When we started watching football, 10 million was amazing.
10 million was like you're signing someone for 10 million.
Agreed, like Christian Vieri or something. But
Arsenal's highest record was like Santi at 11 for like years.
But the thing with Iturbe is he's free for now.
Yeah.
So it's not a big risk. And they got so many injuries. Like, if they still had Callum Wilson,
he's also rapid, man. Iturbo.
Oh, yeah. Iturbo. Yeah. Very nice.
Wow. But, I mean, come on. Someone must have already did that.
I assume so.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, if Callum Wilson was fit, I don't think they're buying Iturbo. But they've got so many injuries that...
Right. We did talk about Kirchhoff already. He's moving from Bayern to Sunderland. We talked about that. Yeah, Mumu. Ivo Pinto from Dinamo to Norwich. His only significant contribution to world football was catching up with Bellerin when Arsenal played them.
Yeah.
That was quite surprising.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so he's quite fast too. Evo Boost, like the Puma brand.
You really are...
Hey, I'm on the speed stuff this week. Yeah. Okay. Damari Gray, we said.
Birmingham. No, just Mohamed said speed stuff, not speed.
Yeah, speed stuff. Everything associated with speed, like velocity.
He but just not loves stuff.
Yeah. Velocity is just speed with direction. Mm. Oh, physics hashtag. Okay, Damari Gray, Birmingham to Leicester. He already got an assist, so congrats.
Damari Gray?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
He's a good little player. I like him.
Apparently, there's a lot of hype around him. Apparently, it's like a great scoop.
He played well today.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know anything about him.
Well, he's very quick. He does a lot of tricks. He puts crosses in. He'll fit Leicester because they play on the break.
When you went quick and trick, I was like, please go one more. Just one more.
Quick and trick.
He's pretty slick.
Oh, there
he's
we
got
go.
Some good flicks.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Charlie Austin to no one. Yeah.
So again.
Yeah. Those ligaments are not looking good.
Wait. Didn't Warnock say something about Charlie Austin?
Yeah. Neil Warnock said that Crystal Palace should go in for him. They've only had one goal from their strikers all season or something ridiculous like that. And then Alan Pardew took offense to that. Unbelievably so. He said, Neil Warnock used to be manager of this club. I'm paraphrasing now. And he's done nothing. Right. He's actually said, and he was horrible. And so I don't want to listen to anything he has to say. And I thought...
Why?
He just said Charlie Austin, who is actually a good football player and a good striker, would fit in your team.
It was a statement out of nothing. He didn't say Adam Pardew doesn't know what he's doing. Like, anyways, whatever. We've got a couple of minutes to move on to Serie A. Okay? Let's get through this. Inter nil, Sassuolo 1.
You're doing a robot dance thing. I wish the viewers could actually see
the robot. No one can see Crouchy's dance here. So Inter get a bit of a taste of their own medicine.
Yeah.
Losing 1-0.
That's what you get for trying to win every game 1-0.
Yeah,
95th penalty. 95th minute penalty by Berardi.
I know how that feels.
Just lovely.
Yeah. So 1-0 there to Sassuolo. Roma 1, Milan 1. Rudiger and... Good luck with this one. It's either Kuka or Kuchka.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, 1-1.
What are you talking about?
The guy who scored for Milan.
Kuch?
Mm. Kuchka.
Okay. Kuchka, work this out, please. No, it has to go down as a failure for Roma. They went 1-0 up.
They were all...
Milan are horrible. Roma need to be beating them. And James Pelotta, the owner, has actually come out and said that the players are in great condition. Physically, they're fine. But the team lacks a winning mentality. Once you say that...
Manager gone.
You'd think, right? Yeah, I think Rudy Garcia is.
Rudy Garcia.
But there are some managers Garcia available later. Who can take over, aren't there?
Oh, sorry. Yes, Spalletti.
I wasn't listening. I was enjoying Garcia later.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Sorry, Bernie. What were you saying?
I was just saying there's
it wasn't managers. As good, was it?
No. We can move on now. Yes. I don't need to talk about this.
This is great. I love saying this. You ready? Frosinone. Lost to Napoli 1-5. So Napoli, Higuain to go. Higuain has 18 and 19. So basically, all Higuain is doing right now is that he is trying to get back into the Argentinian side to crush all hopes of winning anything. Because I will never, ever, as long as I live, forgive him for that World Cup miss and that Copa America miss. Ever. Messi could have been done and dusted.
You're talking about the miss. What about the penalty?
Oh, man.
It's still traveling around the world with Sergio Ramos's penalty.
Oh, man. Unbelievable. Anyways, Higuain scoring 2, Hamsik, Albiol. Great win for Napoli there.
Top of the league, Napoli.
Napoli are top.
They're going very well.
You're right.
Where are Juventus?
They're like fifth, I think. Oh, fourth or fifth?
Yeah, they're fourth with a game in hand. If they win it, they're second. So they've really
they've
shot
won,
up
they've
their
They've won
team.
Like 8 games in a row. Dybala is killing it.
I love that left foot, man.
Yes.
Was it you who compared him to...
Alvaro Recoba. When he takes free kicks, he looks like Recoba. I love
that little man.
Dybala is fantastic.
Oh, can I just stand up for Allegri for a second? Because I know we're running out of time.
Like, not literally,
it's
though.
Okay, I stood up.
Bernie's still tall, you probably can't hear him.
Yeah, I don't think
it's like that.
I just have to say, it's an absolute disgrace Of course it's from FIFA, the disgrace, that Allegri is not one of the candidates for FIFA Coach of the Year, and Pep Guardiola is.
So who are the three?
It's Sampaoli, Guardiola, and Luis Enrique.
Okay, so Allegri should be above Guardiola on that list.
Allegri should be on that list.
Yeah.
They but were up I for mean, the treble, that's all. That's
we
all.
Were arguing about this, and then at the end of the day we said the list doesn't matter because Enrico is going to win it, like, hands down.
But, yeah, but yeah. With some corruption, Sampaoli could win it.
Sampaoli, to be honest, like, yeah he did
even though Luis Enrique will win it, and I think he deserves it, but, you know, corruption, FIFA, same thing.
Right.
Actually, you were talking about the potential Roma managers. Sampaoli is one of them.
Oh, yes.
That would be great.
Speaking of corruption, they raided CONMEBOL's offices.
They did?
Yeah.
They did.
What did they find?
I don't know, but we'll find out.
A lot of con
stacks. Probably, probably allegations, well, documents for match fixing why Sampaoli won. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Chile won correctly.
The last one, which we actually didn't talk about, is Fiorentina 1, Lazio 3. Fiorentina really missing a chance to go top of the table here on points with Napoli. So they're doing quite well. They're sitting in third, Roma in fifth right now. Not like Inter second. So yeah. they're still up there with their 1-0. Yeah. I think I would love to see the goal difference. It must be like 2.
Well, yeah, no, it's really bad.
You wouldn't want to see a game between Inter Milan and Manchester United.
Oh, no, it would be horrendous. No, but Inter Milan's goal difference being so terrible is why if Juve win, they go second, because they'd be level on points, but scored like 15 more goals. But quick comment on Lazio. Great season last season. Signed Ravel Morrison. We asked why. Now they're 11th and terrible.
Yes.
So there you go.
Clearly.
I'm probably going to sell Felipe. No, he won't go. No. This window.
Napoli's new manager as well. He's tied down to like a 5-year contract. So sorry.
Yeah.
Yep. Apparently he's never leaving.
Oh, yeah. What's his name came out saying the Napoli
another
owner.
Slap
what's
in
his
the
name?
Face to Benitez.
Yeah. What's Napoli's owner? He's quite famous.
De Laurentiis.
Yeah, De Laurentiis. He came out saying he had like his arm around him. He's like, this guy's here for 5 seasons.
By the way, he's serious, eh?
Oh, yeah.
When he said Higuain won't leave for anything less than the release clause, he was serious.
No, sure.
He means what he says.
He runs it with the help of the mafia. That's why Hamsik has never left. No one leaves Napoli. It's like Hotel California.
That is literally why Hamsik has never left.
Yes. Cavani, you had to move a mountain to get him out of there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm surprised Hamsik is still there. There were so many rumors.
No, he loves it.
He loves it. He loves it. That's true.
I'm surprised we're still here.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But we're loving it.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it.
Two different songs with the words love in it. I'm not surprised. Okay, every song.
Bernie's going for a Big Mac.
All right. See you guys next week.
Bye.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.